Good morning. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I thank you very much for coming out this day. I know that the world has a lot of things that it would rather us be doing this morning, things that tug us in different directions, but I'm very glad to see all of you here. I have been in a lot of prayer about the message that he would have me bring out this morning. Friday morning, we were in North Carolina visiting my son-in-law, and it was a 20-hour drive. I got to spend a lot of that time behind the wheel while my family were resting, and I had a lot of time of just sitting and thinking and praying and a lot of discussion going on between the Lord and me as to what he wanted me to say this morning. Hopefully, it will all come out right. I'm going to be reading out of several different places. Isaiah, Deuteronomy, the book of Mosiah. There are a lot of things that we're going to be covering this morning. But the message that I feel that he wants me to give to you is to not be afraid to do what he has called us to do. He wants us to lay our fears aside of the world and how the world will think of us, and only fear him and how he thinks of us. There was, let's just start in Isaiah. I'm going to start at the 40th chapter. And I'm going to start at the 21st verse. And this is God speaking to the house of Israel. And I want you to imagine that he's also speaking to us, because he is. This is his own words. And he is trying to get across to us who he is and why we should fear him and not fear the world. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. So the world is nothing. He is everything. And we are like grasshoppers in his sight. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. To be able to know the name of everything and name it, that's power. That's someone to be feared. Someone to be worshipped. Lift up your eyes on high. Excuse me. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? You can't hide from him. There is no way. He knows everything. He knows every nook and cranny there is you could possibly hide in. and he knows who you are. There's no reason to hide. It isn't going to do you any good. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then we have a little bit of instruction here in the 41st chapter. If everything around you is chaotic and the enemy is beating at the gate and you don't know what to do and you're about to lose your mind and you're panicking, this is what he suggests. This is what he commands us to do if we want his help. He says in the first verse, keep silence before me. Be quiet. Stop all the ruckus. Stop all the panic. Be quiet. Listen. O islands, and let the people renew their strength. You want to be strong? Come close to God. If you want to come close to God, be quiet and listen to him. He's God. Let them come near. Then let them speak. So first we have to be quiet and listen and draw our hearts close to God. And then after we've done that and calmed down and we feel his holy presence, then we can start petitioning him for what's going on, for help, for guidance. Let us come near together to judgment. Let's do it as a group. Let's do it as his people, as his church, his chosen ones. Let's do it as the children of Israel, because that's what we are. Let's go to Exodus 14th chapter. I'm going to start in the 10th verse. Here's a group of people that are having problems. Chaos is behind them. They don't know what to do. Chaos is in front of them. They don't know where to go. They're panicking. They're losing their minds. Sounds like everyday American life. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel, this is the 10th verse of the 14th chapter of Exodus. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Ah, we're all going to die. What did you do this for? Why have you brought us here? Are you out of your mind? Panic is ensuing. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Be quiet. Listen. And see what God's going to do for us. We have nothing to fear. We are His people. We have made a covenant with Him that we will be His people, that we will serve Him, that we will have no other gods before us. And He has accepted that covenant and chosen us to serve Him. He has commanded us to serve Him in all that we do. Every day, not just this morning, but every day of the week, every day of our lives, He has commanded us to serve Him to our utmost ability. And we have all those commandments in front of us. If we don't know what they are, then we have a problem. If we don't know what He expects us to do every day, then we need to start studying together a little bit more to figure it out so we all understand together, so we can be united in our service to God. Because if we don't, we might as well have stayed in Egypt. Turn to Deuteronomy. So those people, by the way, those people there at the Red Sea, at that time in the house of Israel, any man that was 20 years or older was considered an adult. Anyone that was 20 years or older was considered old enough to pick up a sword and go fight for Israel. So they were considered adults. And there was quite a few of them there, 600 and some thousand of them at that point, men over the age of 20. All of those men, after they crossed the Red Sea, and their wives, or any of the other women that were over the age of 20, all of those people, after they crossed the Red Sea, they made a covenant with God to be His people, to serve Him. That they would have no other gods before them. And that they would do everything that He commanded them to do. And that was in front of Mount Sinai. I think it took about 3 months to get there after they crossed the Red Sea. And then it was maybe another 10 weeks after that that they got to the River Jordan. By the time they left the mountain and they got to the River Jordan, they saw numerous miracles. Things that God had done for them the entire journey, plus all the things that they had seen Him do for them in Egypt in convincing the Egyptians to let them go, and not just let them go freely, but to give them all of their gold and silver and fine clothes and anything else they wanted. They saw God do all of this for them, and then they got to the river, and they all said, no. We don't want to. We're afraid. We're scared of what's on the other side. There are cities there that the walls of the city are solid and they're like 50, 60, 70 foot tall. And the guys that are in the cities are giants. You know, we look like grasshoppers in front of them. So no, we don't want to go. Get somebody else. Have somebody else do it. I want to go back to Egypt and watch a football game or a soccer game or whatever it is that they were doing that was better than serving God at the time. So they told him no. Said that they were afraid of the giants because they would look like grasshoppers in their eyes. Well, remember in Isaiah, what God told us? We're all grasshoppers in God's eyes. And he's the giant that we should be afraid of. Not the guys on the other side of the river or the guys outside of these walls. The people out there are nothing to be afraid of. God is the one that we should be fearing. And God is the one that we should be trying our hardest to make happy with us. Turn to Deuteronomy. There were 600 some thousand men, probably the same amount of women, and then there was a whole pile of kids that said they weren't going to cross the river. Now the kids, don't get me wrong, the kids didn't have a choice. They didn't know anything about what was going on. They'd only had the law of Moses for a few months, and they'd been marching almost day and night trying to get to the River Jordan. So there was really no time for Sunday school classes to be going on. So the kids didn't know much. But their parents did. And all of their parents, but two, said they didn't want to follow God. They didn't want to serve him after they promised. Those two men, Joshua and Caleb, they were a little bit different. They were willing to serve God in everything. In all the things that he commanded them to do without question. If he told them to jump, they'd jump and ask how high while they were up in the air. They had fear of God in their hearts, but they had no fear of giants. People on the other side of the river, they weren't afraid of the walled cities. They were afraid of God. And they were willing to serve God wholly and completely. Turn to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. First verse. And this is God speaking. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. How long have you been a member of the Church of Christ? Or if you're not a member of the Church of Christ yet, but you've been coming here for a while, how long have you been coming here? How long have you heard the testimonies, the witnesses of the things that God has done for us, as well as all these other people in both of these books? We have thousands of testimonies of what God has done for us since the church has been restored on the earth. Thousands of them. And in this book alone, the Book of Mormon, you know, there's only 700 and some pages in the Book of Mormon, but it covers over 1,000 years of testimonies of what God did for those people. That's less than a page per year. We can fill up a page per year of testimonies of what God has done for us. We have nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing out there in the world that we need to fear, especially more than we fear God and fear breaking his commandments. Let's turn to page 259 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to just read verse 44. Well, actually, I'm going to start at 44 and I might go on further. And when he had said these words, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he said, Helam, I baptize thee, having authority from the Almighty God as a testimony that ye have entered into a covenant to serve him until you are dead as to the mortal body. And may the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon you, and may he grant unto you eternal life through the redemption of Christ, which he hath prepared from the foundation of the world. It's done as a testimony that ye have entered into a covenant to serve him until you are dead as to the mortal body. That's what a lot of us in this room have done. That's what a lot of us in this room are contemplating on having done. And if you're not one of those two, then you're one of the others that really needs to seriously start thinking about having that done. Because it is a commandment. And whether you want to accept it or not, he is God. And we're just grasshoppers in his eyes, waiting to be swept away if we don't do what he said. And after Alma had said these words, both Alma and Helam were buried in the water. And they arose and came forth out of the water rejoicing, being filled with the Spirit. I remember the day that that happened to me. I remember being filled with God's Spirit. I remember what it felt like. It was wonderful. And again, Alma took another and went forth a second time into the water and baptized him according to the first. Only he did not bury himself again in the water. And after this manner, he did baptize everyone that went forth to the place of Mormon. And they were in number about 204 souls. Yea, and they were baptized in the waters of Mormon and were filled with the grace of God. And they were called the Church of God, or the Church of Christ, from that time forward. And it came to pass that whosoever was baptized by the power and authority of God was added to his church. And it came to pass that Alma, having authority from God, ordained priests. Every one priest to every 50 of their number did he ordain to preach unto them and to teach them concerning the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he commanded them that they should teach nothing save it were the things which he had taught, and which had been spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets. Yea, even he commanded them that they should preach nothing save it were repentance and faith on the Lord, who hath redeemed his people. And he commanded them that there should be no contention one with another, but that they should look forward with one eye, having one faith and one baptism, having their hearts knit together in unity and in love, one towards another. And thus he commanded them to preach, and thus they became the children of God, the Church of Christ. There's like 200 and some people there. Here we are today. We're still the Church of Christ. We're still doing it the same way that it was done back then. But do we still have the same fear of God in our hearts? Or are we just going through the motions? Are we just showing up on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and saying, I'm a baptized member of the Church of Christ. I'm okay. It's just like the rest of the world that says, John 3:16, I'm okay. If we don't remember who God is, and we don't understand who he is, and we're not willing to keep his commandments, it doesn't matter what title we put in front of our name or after our name or how much we profess that we're his children, if we don't do what he said, it isn't going to count. No fear of the world. Well, let's just keep reading. And he commanded them that they should observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and also every day they should give thanks to the Lord their God. And he also commanded them that the priests, which he had ordained, should labor with their own hands for their support. And there was one day in every week that was set apart that they should gather themselves together to teach the people and to worship the Lord their God. And also, as often as it was in their power, to assemble themselves together. To study, share testimonies, encourage each other, fellowship and Christian love. Anything that will help us to remember God. And the priests were not to depend upon the people for their support, but for their labor they were to receive the grace of God, that they might wax strong in the Spirit, having the knowledge of God, that they might teach with power and authority from God. And again, Alma commanded that the people of the church should impart of their substance, everyone according to that which he hath. If he have more abundantly, he should impart more abundantly. And he that hath but little should be required. And to him that hath not, should be given. And thus they should impart of their substance, of their own free will, and good desires towards God. And to those priests that stood in need, yea, and to every needy, naked soul. And this he said unto them, having been commanded of God. And they did walk uprightly before God, imparting to one another both temporally and spiritually according to their needs and their wants. That's a good church. Makes me feel like we could be right alongside those people. I've seen us act that way towards each other. I've heard His ordained ministers teach us those same things. And I felt the same spirit. That's why I know we are His church. But we do have to remember, fear Him. Let's turn to the first chapter of Mosiah. And I'm going to start at the 118th verse. This is a little more fear. A little more reminder. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. Being out there in the world, not caring what God wants, not wanting to obey His commandments, not wanting to repent of your sins and go down into the waters of baptism, that marks you as a natural man and puts upon you a title as enemy of God, a grasshopper waiting to be swept away or squashed. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient. Patient with everybody. Not just patiently waiting for God, but patient with everybody. Full of love for everybody. Willing to forgive the trespasses that are put upon you by your fellow men. By those people out there in the world. Even by the people sitting next to you right now in church. Can you forgive them? Are you willing to set it aside and not remember it anymore when they hurt you? And only desire love for them and good things for them? Willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children. Only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God omnipotent, all powerful, like a giant circling the earth. And even at this time when thou shalt have taught thy people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which I have spoken unto thee. You cannot blame me. I've told you what he expects. It's up to you to decide what you're going to do. Are you going to set aside your fears of ridicule of the world? Set aside your fears as to what your family outside the church is going to think and start obeying God? Or are you going to let those fears overcrowd your fear of God? Let's turn to Joshua. Now remember, the first time they got to the river, the house of Israel chickened out. They let the fears of the world get into their minds and into their hearts, and they wanted to run back to Egypt, back to the world, back where it was, quote, safe, to where they didn't have to do these hard things that God wanted them to do, to step out in faith and cross that river and keep his commandments completely and wholly with all their heart. And so they were punished. And about 1.2 million people didn't get across the river. They died. Now their kids got to cross the river. And Joshua and Caleb, the two guys, the two adults, that with all their heart, might, mind, and strength decided to serve God because they feared him. So there was a whole group of people that were afraid of the world. Well, now it's 40 years later. They've come back to the river again. All those people that were afraid of the world have died. And their kids are now grown-ups. And their kids know what happened to their parents, and their kids know what God has done for them, and they're back at the river. And they're ready to cross. First verse of the second chapter of Joshua. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. So she lied to the king of Jericho, but she did hide the two spies from Joshua. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, now listen, this is what she told these two spies. Now remember, 40 years ago, 1.2 million cowards of the world. Okay? 40 years after that, here's two guys and someone on the other side of the river, someone out there in the world. Listen to what she tells those guys. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. They were afraid. The world was afraid of the church of God because of the things that God is willing to do for his people. They're afraid to even look in their direction for fear that the house of God will come crashing down upon them and they'll be destroyed like grasshoppers. Those giants in their walled cities were afraid of the children of God because of what he had done for them, because they knew he was God and that they were his children, and that those other people, the people on the other side of the river, were nothing in the eyes of God because they weren't keeping his commandments, but the house of Israel was. That's where we are. We are the church of Christ. We are the children of God. We have made the same promise that he will be our God forever, and that we will be his children, and that we will serve him to the end. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of anything but God. And if he tells us to do something, if he tells us to go to the Philippines, or he tells us to go to Russia or China or wherever he tells us to go and to spread that light, we better go and not be afraid. If he tells us to go and talk to our neighbor across the street from where we've been living for the past 15 years and have never in our life been willing to go and share a single testimony about what God has done for us, if he tells you to do that, you better go. No matter how afraid you might be of the world, you better be more afraid of God. I went almost 1,200 miles, and in the past several weeks, I have seen more rainbows than I have in a long time. And they were everywhere. Everywhere we went. There was rainbows out in the ocean. There was rainbows over buildings. There was rainbows everywhere. There was a rainbow, beautiful one, right out here. I've seen rainbows at my house. I've seen rainbows everywhere. And when I look at a rainbow, it reminds me of a covenant that Noah made with God, that he would be his child, that he would be his servant, that he would keep his commandments forever, and that he would become a child of the light. You know, that's why God uses that sign, that rainbow, because that rainbow is made up of all light. All color, pure light from God shining down from heaven and being spread upon the earth. It's a reminder that he's still there. He's still God. And we are supposed to spread that same light everywhere we go. So when he commands us to do something, we better do it. And stop being afraid. Just get up and go. If we ask him, God, I've spent a few years here now on the earth, and it's been a good life, and I'm thankful for everything you've done for me, and I've decided that if there's something you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. Just tell me what it is. You tell me and I'll go do anything you tell me to. If he says, go to Nineveh, you better go to Nineveh. If he says, go talk to that person there on the sidewalk, this is what he did to me about 2 weeks ago. Came out of a store here in Independence, was walking back to my car, and there was a person that worked in the store sitting outside leaning up against a pillar, sitting there just looking like they were deep in thought. As I walked past them, I thought in my mind, I wonder what they're thinking about. Got in my car, started backing out of the parking lot, and God said, I want you to go talk to that person. I said, okay, what do you want me to tell them? Said, I want you to tell them why I made the Grand Canyon. I said, okay, I can do that. Because he had told me when I was about 18 years old why he did that, why he made the Grand Canyon, and it was pretty cool. So I got pulled my car up next to the sidewalk and rolled down my window and said, hey, how are you? And the young lady turned her head and goes, I'm fine, how are you? And I said, good. I said, do you know why God made the Grand Canyon? And she said, what? I said, do you know why God made the Grand Canyon? She goes, no. Why? Why did he? And this is what he told me when I was 18. He said, I did it because it brought me great joy. And I did it because I love you. I love each and every one of you the same. That's why I made the Grand Canyon. Same reason that I allowed my son, Jesus Christ, to be sacrificed, even though that I knew that you were all going to spit on him and walk on him and trample him under your feet, crucify him. I did that because I love you too. And then she said, oh, okay. I get it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that with me. And then she told me to have a good day. And then I drove away. Why did she need to know that? I don't know. What was she thinking before I got there? I don't know. But obviously God wanted to just touch her heart. Because you could see it in her eyes when he did. And she was thankful. You know, when we stand up here and we preach, before we stand up here, most of us are just really nervous. Some of us are sick to our stomachs. But we know, because he has called us to do a job, that we have to stand up here. And that if we don't, we're going to get punished. And that if we do stand up here and are willing to stand up here, he's going to take care of everything and he's going to go ahead and tell us what to say. To help whoever out there in the audience needs to know what's going on, why is this happening, what do I need to do. That's why we stand up here. Even though it can be terrifying and scary, God's a lot more scary than the world if you cross him. So remember, fear God. Love God with all your might, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. be willing to give that love to your neighbor, just like Jesus Christ gave his love to you. Thank you.